day and welcome to the Dürr Preliminary Figures 2012 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Ralf Dieter. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ralf Dieter speaking. My colleague Ralf Heuwing and I welcome you to Dürr's conference call on our preliminary 2012 results. Like last year, there will be no press and analyst call when we publish our annual report on March 13. And our year-end closing is already stable enough for us to be able to give you all the key figures today. We will be pleased to answer any further questions you might have about the annual report over the phone after it's published on March 13. I will start off by giving you an overview of our results in 2012, and Ralf Heuwing will then go into our financial figures in more detail. Then we will talk about our strategy going forward, and Ralf Heuwing will talk about the progress in our Clean Technology System division. And finally, I will close with the outlook, and then we will take your questions. We move on to page 4. So we did not only achieve the targets we set for 2012, but actually exceeded them in most cases. In many regions, we were able to expand our market leadership, benefiting from our strong local presence in the growth markets and our innovative products. All in all, 2012 was the best year in Dürr's history ever. At 2.596 billion, incoming orders again reached a very high level in 2012, very close to the previous year's record figure. Although the automobile industry did not spend quite as much on capacity extension, it stepped up modernization spending at existing plants. With our full order books, we operated at 100% capacity utilization, even though we hired over 800 additional employees worldwide during the course of the year. Thanks to this high order backlog, we also have a very high visibility regarding sales in 2013. The quality of the orders on hand has improved too compared with the year earlier. The growth of 25% in sales revenue with an only 12% increased workforce underscores the productivity improvements we have achieved over the last years. Sales revenues per employee increased by 9% again to an all-time high, while the cost per employee rose by only 4%. EBIT came in at 177 million after 107 million euros the year before, resulting in a margin of 7.4% after 5.5% last year, and the net profit was 111 million. We will therefore be proposing a dividend of €2.25 per share for 2012 at the annual general meeting, up from €1.20 last year. Operating cash flow was also stronger than expected and reached 118 million. Let's move to page 5. The fourth quarter was, as in the past, the strongest quarter of the year. Sales revenues were up 5%. EBIT improved by 15 million year over year to 58 million with an EBIT margin of 9%. Operating cash flow came to 136 million in the last quarter. Incoming orders were up 4% year over year and up 17% compared to Q3 2012, and book-to-bill stood at 1.0. Page 6 tracks incoming orders since the fourth quarter 2009. We booked new orders at an average run rate of 650 million in the last four quarters. Page 7 shows that we received orders worth 1.4 billion from the emerging markets, roughly 19% down on 2011, but we expect our customers to place a good volume of new orders in most of the emerging markets in 2013 again. The order intake in North and South America dropped by 25% compared with 2011, but increased by 24% in Europe, including Germany. The European region was unexpectedly strong due to a number of modernization projects. And in Germany, for example, we received a large-scale contract for the construction of an efficient paint shop. This proves the benefit of our geographic diversification, which leads me to page number 8. Here you see the familiar breakdown of sales revenues and incoming orders. As discussed, the relative weighting of the emerging markets has temporarily decreased compared to 2011. 55% of the orders came from the emerging markets, down from 65% 1 year earlier. China alone, which is our largest single market by far, accounted again for 33%. The distribution of sales revenues follows this pattern of incoming orders, with a time lag, as you know, between 12 to 15 months. So, Ralf Heuwing now will take you through our financials and cash flow statement.
Yeah, thank you, Ralf. I will proceed on page 10. Driven by the strong demand, sales revenues were up 25% in 2012. Our sales mix continued to change towards new equipment in 2012. The higher margin service business, up 14%, could not grow as dynamically as the new equipment business, which saw a growth of 25%. Gross margin on new equipment business, though, improved for the first time since 2009 and 10. In absolute terms, gross profit was up 106 million euros to 438 million euros. Gross margin increased to 18.2%, up from the 17.2% in the year before. As in previous years, selling and admin expenses rose a good deal less than sales revenues. Our market success in 2011 and 12 was largely due to the introduction of new, more efficient products. We have therefore continued our innovation strategy and increased our R&D spend by 26% to 37 million euros. There was hardly any impact from other operating or extraordinary items. Net financial expense, however, increased by 8.5 million euros over the previous year to 29.2 million euros, mostly as a result of non-recurring and indeed non-cash items. After taking the Dürr campus in Bietigheim-Bissingen onto our balance sheet at the end of last year, interest expense now includes the cost of financing this acquisition amounting to 2.1 million euros. The non-recurring and non-cash items are the following. Firstly, there was a 3 million euro write-off of deferred transaction costs for our syndicated loan. This was required by IFRS accounting as we were able to negotiate substantial improvements to the loan agreement, qualifying the loan as new. We did this on the strength of Dürr's improved creditworthiness. In addition to more favorable terms and the release of collateral, it is now possible to extend the term of the syndicated loan by a year until June 2015 at no extra cost. Further non-recurring and non-cash expenses of 3.4 million euros arose in 2012 as a result of a lower actuarial interest rate affecting the calculation of provisions for the long-term accounts of PayScale employees. Despite the strong earnings improvements, the effective tax rate was nearly unchanged at 25%. Owing to the much improved earnings outlook, we were able to use tax loss carryforwards, especially in Germany, by creating a deferred tax asset. Net profit, therefore, reached a record high of 111 million euros. I will move on to page 12, the cash flow statement. Cash flow from operating activities was strongly positive at 118 million euros and only 10 million euros down compared to last year's level. The positive development was based on strong growth in earnings and revenues. Net working capital increased by 69 million euros due to the growth in business. In 2013, we expect no major change in net working capital. The external funding of pension obligations influenced provisions by a sum of minus 18 million euros. This measure is primarily reflected in changes in provision, and it reduced our exposure to interest and longevity risks. Free cash flow reached 66 million euros. Over the last 2 years, we've been able to generate an average free cash flow of 79 million euros. Just for information, our manufacturing and forfeiting level has settled in at the region of 20 million euros and is currently only of minor relevance for our financing and cash flow. Let's go a bit more into details on net working capital on page 13. Adjusted for currency translation effects and first-time consolidation, it increased by 69 million euros compared to the end of 2011 to 99 million euros. As of the reporting date, it equaled only 4.1% of sales revenues. Days working capital stood at 15 days as of year-end, and hence below the target corridor of 20 to 25 days. As receivables did not grow as quickly as sales revenues, days sales outstanding dropped to 104 days. Let's look to the next familiar pages on our work in progress and progress billing. It shows that the payment balance with our customers has rebalanced somewhat compared to the previous year. Prepayments from customers reported on the liability side were exceptionally high at 486 million euros as of the reporting date. There will be future receivables from contracts set against these liabilities on the asset side. Consequently, it is always misleading to view these prepayments in isolation. The balance of future receivables from contracts and customer prepayments was minus 109 million euros as of December 31st, 2012, which is a reduction of 17 million euros compared with the previous year. This amount, which represents net customer contract pre-financing, will generate future cash outflows, increase net working capital, and reduce cash and cash equivalents. Moving on to page 15. The equity rose by 68 million euros to 432 million as of the end of 2012. This improvement was mainly driven by the net profit for the year, although the dividend payment for 2011 and the lower discount factor on pension provisions compared with the previous year had the opposite effect. Despite the increase in total assets, the equity ratio further rose from 21.9% in the previous year to 23.9% as of December 31st. We expect a further increase in 2013 and 14, crossing the 25% mark. Our net financial status improved by 45 million euros to 97 million euros. Cash and cash equivalents amounted to 349 million euros at the end of the year. This is due to the positive free cash flow. Finally, a few words about our funding situation. We are fully financed until 2015 on favorable terms. At the end of the year, we had unused cash credit lines of 90 million euros under the syndicated loan agreement and the European Investment Bank credit line, and a cash position of 349 million euros. So we do not foresee any funding measures in the near term. Let me finish with some remarks on page 16 on our capital efficiency. The extraordinary increase of ROCE to 44%, despite the increase of net working capital, underscores the strength of our asset-light business model. You can see that between 2006 and 12, our business volume grew by 75%, while capital employed actually decreased by 4%. Our ROCE accordingly improved from just under 8% in 2006 to 44% today. We achieved this improvement by capital and cash flow transparency across all business entities, tight capex and working capital controls, and an incentive structure that rewards capital efficiency. We regard our high ROCE as one of the cornerstones of the Dürr financial story. I will now hand back to Ralf Dieter.
Okay, thank you, Ralf. Let's move for a few on the divisions on page 17. EBIT grew strongly in 2012 in most of our portfolio. As incoming orders generally exceeded sales revenues, a high level of capacity utilization can be expected across all four divisions in 2013. Earnings in the individual divisions were generally very encouraging in 2012, and Paint and Assembly Systems, Application Technology, and Measuring and Process Systems all posted sharp gains, with Paint and Assembly Systems exceeding even our target EBIT of 6%.
This also reflects the improvements in our internal processes, as well our investments over the last years in our IT infrastructure. Application technology also delivered a strong improvement thanks to full capacity utilization and improved order quality. Measuring and process technology is benefiting from the sustained strong business performance in balancing and assembly products, as well as the improved earnings situation in cleaning and filtration systems. That said, we are not yet satisfied with the margins being achieved in the latter unit at all, but the foundations have been laid for further earnings improvement this year. Earnings in clean technology systems reflect the startup costs for the new energy efficiency business, as already mentioned in the last call. On page 19, you can see that we continue to execute our corporate strategy in 2012. Growth optimization and new business will remain the cornerstones of our strategy going forward. Expansion of our core business in the emerging markets, acquisitions, service, modernization, and innovation. Besides creating value through growth, we are also tapping new earnings potential via optimization. We are continuously optimizing our business processes and tools and managing the regional distribution of our capacities. The third, our Clean Technology System division, created at the beginning of 2011, is addressing growth opportunities with energy-efficient technologies. Our target here is sales revenues of about 200 million by the year 2015. Let's move to page 20. We are systematically building on our leading competitive position in the emerging markets, and especially in China. As you can see, China has grown in sales annually by 36%, India by 36%, Mexico 24%, and Brazil 35% over the last few years. The emerging markets already account for one-third of our global workforce. In 2005, we had only 14% of our workforce in the emerging markets. Over that period, the number of employees in China has grown from 270 to more than 1,600 now. We are also doubling our office and factory capacities in Shanghai, with a total space of 63,000 square meters being created at two locations in Shanghai as we speak. Just for comparison, the space we have here at our headquarters in Bietigheim is 74,000 square meters. We are also expanding our capacity in other emerging markets like Brazil and Mexico. Mexico, for example, we are doubling our office space and significantly increasing our workshop space by moving to a new location in the middle of this year. Also in Bietigheim, we are adding more than 6,000 square meters for our production capacities in robot assembly. In total, we are spending about 50 million euro for expanding our capacities in 2012 and 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, page 21 shows impressively why we are focusing so strongly on the emerging markets. 75% of the growth in global automobile production will be generated by the emerging markets through 2017. One important factor is that market volumes are set to grow considerably more sharply over the next 5 years than in the past 5 years. And in the last 5 years, world production of light vehicles increased by a total of 10 million units. And between now and 2017, it is forecasted to grow by 23 million units. Stagnation is forecasted for the whole of Europe in 2013. This includes expanding production in Eastern Europe. We also expect an ongoing resurgence of the North American market. However, the Chinese market will remain the driving force behind the automobile industry, with growth of 10 million units expected by 2017. On the next page, 22, you can see that also Southeast Asia is no doubt about the next growth region. We positioned ourselves there in 2012 with the establishment of a new company in Thailand, which has already got a number of orders within the space of a few months, mostly for modification and services. Looking ahead over the next 5 years, average GDP growth should come to around 6% in this region, with automobile production expanding by an annual rate of more than 8%. By 2017, automobile production in this region alone should stand at 6.1 million, roughly on a par with Germany. On page 23, that you can see that the service business is an important cornerstone of our strategy. Service business grew at 14% to a record high with more than 500 million sales and had a share of 21% in 2012, after 23% the year before. The reason for the relative decline was for sure the strong growth in sales revenues from new equipment and machinery business, which will feed the service business of the future. We expect continued growth in the next few years, which should exceed the growth of our installed base. Besides the service business, the modernization business will become more important as well. As you can see from the chart, the installed base is increasingly aging, and alone 250, as an example, 250 paint shops in the world are older than 20 years. So, as in 2012, we expect the share of modernization business to continue to grow. Page 24 illustrates that Dürr's innovation strategy is focused on reducing cost per unit and life cycle costs for our customers. That's why we introduced the claim leading in production efficiency last year. One crucial aspect is that greater automation not only cuts costs but also improves quality. A good example is our new atomizer generation EcoBell 3, which can be used for automating both exterior and also interior body painting. In around 50% of cases around the world, interior body painting is still done manually, a situation which is set to change over the next few years. It will be business for us. Secondary effect is the improved environmental footprint. Environmental issues are becoming increasingly important for many of our customers. By systematically enhancing our cost per unit focus, we are able to differentiate ourselves from the competition. And the picture on the right show the Eco Reboost, our new compact modular paint booth product, which goes to the first customer mid of this year. The new balancing machine on this picture is dedicated for the repair market of turbochargers, and our air purification technology fits well for cleaning the methane out of ventilation air in the coal mines. And the last photo shows our new color changer Eco LCC2 with minimum paint losses, which gives a lot of savings to our customers. Now let me hand over to Ralf again.
Yeah, I will talk about the third pillar of our strategy, the new business development. The prospects for our Clean Technology Systems division are good. Firstly, resource conservation and rising energy prices are creating a need for energy efficient production systems around the world, while the payback periods for such investments are increasingly shrinking. Second, our customers, both in the automotive but also in the process industry like chemical and pharmaceuticals, are increasingly perceiving energy consumption of their production systems as a cost factor. Project inquiries for the energy optimization of manufacturing processes are therefore showing above average growth rates. Third, as a plant engineering company, we have all the relevant core skills to build this new business. Specialist know-how in the exhaust air and waste heat area on the one hand, and engineering and project management expertise on the other. Fourth, through our global presence, we are in a good position to tap the fast-growing market potential for energy-efficient technologies, both in mature but also in emerging markets. And fifth, we have achieved first successes with our ORC technology, which generates electricity from waste heat. In the latter part of 2012, we sold already 5 systems. To broaden our technology portfolio, we undertook 3 acquisitive moves in 2012. In January 2012, we acquired a 15% interest in Heat Matrix Group in the Netherlands. Heat Matrix develops innovative heat exchangers made from plastic, which are particularly suitable for extracting heat out of flue gas. In March, we increased our share in Laterm from 8.2% to 29.2%. Laterm specializes in mobile latent heat storage systems, allowing heat to be extracted and stored and then reused independent of time and place. In October, we acquired a 26.9% interest in the capital of Termea Energiesysteme, increasing the share to 27.5% following a small equity issue in December. Termea is one of the world's first suppliers of large heat pumps working on the basis of CO2, which is a natural coolant. Under the contractual arrangements with the other shareholders, we have control over this company. Although all three companies are small, each of them adds important innovations to our clean technology portfolio. Our task is now to commercialize them and to grow them internationally. In addition, we are reviewing further acquisition opportunities.
Thank you, Ralf. And we move on to the page 27. The handout, our outlook for our business in 2013 is positive. Dürr entered 2013 with a large order backlog of 2.3 billion. Project inquiries from the automobile industry remains strong. Dürr is targeting an order intake of 2.3 to 2.5 billion this year. And assuming that the economic and finance market conditions remain stable, then we would forecast a moderate top line and bottom line growth in 2013, with the EBIT margin expected to come in at between 7.0 and 7.5%. Cash flow will improve strongly in 2013, and in addition to improved earnings and higher income, we do not forecast any material change in net working capital. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we are inviting you to raise your questions, I would like to provide you with a brief summary on page 28. 2012 turned out better than we had expected and was the best year in Dürr's history. Recent forecasts show that the automobile industry will grow more strongly in the next 5 years than it did over the past 5 years. Modernization and service business may grow at a faster rate than greenfield business. And for 2013, we expect a continuation of our performance with sales growth of at least 5% and improving earnings with an EBIT margin of, as I said already, 7 and 7.5%. The group is solidly positioned and fully financed through to September 2015. Our net financial status is positive and we have 90 million of unused credit lines and a cash position of 350 million. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention, and now we are happy to answer your questions, and I hand over back to Bianca.
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll just pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Ingo Schachel of Commerzbank. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one would be regarding the measuring and process system segment. Here your order intake in Q4 was, I don't want to say weak, but it was low, so maybe that's a good thing, but maybe you could give us a bit more color on what that looks like in the two different areas. I assume that it's largely due to lower order intake in cleaning and filtration systems, but maybe a quick comment from your side whether order intake in balancing systems was also weaker, or whether it's mostly you being more selective on the cleaning system side. Then secondly, regarding the guidance for fiscal 13, the margin guidance does not imply any further margin expansion in the next year, but you did mention that, for example, measuring and process systems, you still see some upside for the margins. So is there any other segments where you're a little bit particularly concerned regarding the margin progression in the current fiscal year? Is it more of paint systems or balancing systems, or is it, again, just you being a little bit more trying to keep a buffer of caution here and remain conservative initially? And in that context, maybe also a quick comment on the new production facility in China would be appreciated, i.e. if everything's on track from a timeline, and also if you expect any particular impact on the margin from that side once it's up and running, for example, any temporary loss of production efficiency in the first couple of weeks of the startup, or whether that should be largely unnoticed from a margin perspective.
Okay, Mr. Schachel, the first question you answered yourself. The decline of order intake in the fourth quarter in MPS division was mainly due to cleaning filtration, where we
with intention didn't take larger scale orders with low margins, in particular in the US. So balancing assembly products, order intake was continuously strong last year. So there's no weakness from their side. The guidance margin, you mentioned you call it maybe conservative. I think, first of all, it's early in the year. Not many companies give an outlook for 2013, but we also have to understand that the last year we had a lot of effects out of the high utilization. We hired a lot of people, which we trained last year, which they come to work this year. Also, that will increase the cost, so we are conservative at the moment. But as you know, we always try to do better, but at the moment, that's our guidance. And the building in China, don't worry about that. First of all, it's in time. Secondly, we have our locations we are working out at the moment, and there will be no disruption when we start the new location because we have exercised this now 5 times in the last 4 years in China, and we have developed ways of doing it that we don't lose any euro or RMB by moving to this place. The opposite is the case. We can organize much better production. I think we will have benefits out of it.
Okay, thanks.
Pleasure.
Our next question comes from Tim Rokossa of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Tim Rokossa, Deutsche Bank. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one would be somewhat attaching to the one that Ingo has already raised. On your margin guidance. Now, I fully understand that it's still very early in the year. I also don't want to repeat the same game as last year and challenge you on your guidance. But just to clarify here, maybe, when your existing order backlog already has a much higher margin quality and your utilization rates should remain high, are there any other special impacts that we should keep in mind why your EBIT margin should actually drop below last year's level? And maybe with respect to that, you can also touch on the question that China, which was maybe even a bit below your expectations, or at least your initial expectations last year, whereas Europe was much stronger. Do you share the view that the situation there has now really stabilized, which is also somewhat visible in your order intake? And how does it look in Q1? Is it now growing stronger, and does it rather look like Q4 than H1? And then as a second question, on your free cash flow, which you already said should exceed 70 million this year, my numbers, it should probably be, it should be already higher. And you're talking about a smaller acquisition. You already gave guidance and a dividend payout increase, but there should still be a decent amount of money left. So can you maybe update us on what you expect to do with that money? Thank you.
Okay, hello, Mr. Rokossa. First about China. China was last year, as you know, the first half was not so strong, but that was mainly due to also the uncertainties about the new government. We saw a big recovering in the fourth quarter. China at the moment... the level we have business there, we see as a very high one. We built so many paint shops there, and the pipeline of orders is, from today's perspective, not higher than last year. Let's express it like that. So we see a stable development here. In particular, on the sales side, that's clear, but on the order intake side, I would guess it will be more or less the same, but it's difficult to say so early in the year. Yeah, one or two orders can make a big difference. But overall, China is stable, and our customers are still planning further expansions above that what we're doing. The margin, why should it be dropping? That was your question. I mean... as I said, you said it yourself, it's early in the year. We have the effect that we have hired some people which are on our, not negatively on our margin, but we are careful at the moment. I think we all have the ambitions to have the same level like last year, but at the moment that's what we see. But there are no special effects you have to expect which would make the margin drop. Something we see, you don't know.
Maybe on free cash flow, yes, we said it should be above 70 million euros, but as always, it fluctuates with net working capital, and that is also dependent on prepayments. But we feel very, very happy with that minimum level of 70 million, and it could be also somewhat upside of that. Use of cash, I mean, three principal uses. Firstly, we still have growth debt, so deleveraging is one purpose, and we need to be able to pay back our bond in 2015 or even earlier. Secondly, we want to pay healthy dividends. But then thirdly, it should be CapEx, which we believe is in the range or slightly higher than 2012 to complete our expansions, as we had said. And then also the remainder might go into M&A, as we are always on the look for interesting and synergetic growth opportunities.
All right, thank you.
Pleasure.
The next question comes from Sven Shipansky of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Also three questions from my side. The first one is on the margin. You basically said that the quality of orders has improved. If we don't take the higher headcount into consideration, just talk about the gross margin, should that be a position where we still see some upside? Second question is on the cash flow, just a bit of housekeeping. Is the pattern basically the same that we should expect the largest impact here on Q4 again? And then just on the order intake, we've seen a bit more volatility in terms of quarterly intake. How do you see that going forward?
Okay, let's start with the gross margin. Yes, we expect that we have some improvements on the gross margin side. Definitely, yeah. The second question?
The cash flow pattern. Yeah, there is some seasonality in our business to the extent that before Christmas we see a lot of projects coming to the end and then receiving final payments. And then also, as you see, according to or in line with the order intake development, which tends to be a bit stronger in Q4, we also take fresh prepayments in. So that's why we typically see a skew towards the fourth quarter. And then there is a customer behavior point. There are many customers who are paying out any dues just before Christmas to reduce their balance sheet. That's something that we have observed over the last several years.
And your third question regarding order intake, Mr. Shipansky, can you just repeat that, please, again?
Just in terms of, you said that the run rate is now 650 million, but it has been a bit more volatile, being quite high in Q2, a lot lower in Q3. Just in terms of volatility, do you see that increasing, or is it just simply driven by larger orders that you received in Q2, for example?
You know, in the last years, we always said that a quarter is not really giving you a picture of what's going on, and it can be volatile. Sometimes it was not. It's a little bit just pure luck when a customer decides to place the order with us. One day can make a difference of 100 or 150 million. So I don't see a change there, and I don't have a picture of whether quarters are strong or weak. It's very, so we don't look at that because it doesn't make sense, yeah.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
The next question comes from Thomas Rau of Montega Equity. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Three questions, please, from my side. First of all, is it fair to assume that that in cleaning and filtration you had been roughly at break-even level in 2012? If yes, if so, what are your expectations going forward? That means for 2013, given that you have launched a couple of measures in order to improve profitability in that business. Secondly, on the financial result, you mentioned that you had some non-recurring items included in the 2012 accounts. What is a reasonable level for 2013? And finally, regarding your order intake, the order intake was decreasing in the Americas region. Do you already see some signs of a recovery, of a pickup of demand?
Okay, so let's start with the EcoClean or cleaning and filtration business. It was a little bit more than break even. But to be fair, also not much more. So we see this year in strong improvement by the measures we have taken and still undertaking and will continue this year. So definitely there will be some millions more EBIT we expect out of this business this year.
On the financial results, the term non-recurring implies that this is nothing that should be repeated, and the character of those two items which I mentioned, both the transaction costs which were written off, which is, you can also see this as a precaution, and also the actuarial adjustment, these are really one-time effects. We consider the rest, which is approximately 20 million, also to be the figure for 2013, since we also don't expect major changes in the interest income and the interest rates in the market.
Okay.
So regarding your question of the situation in North America, we had a good year last year in North America. From the sales side and order intake, there was, a little bit of slowdown in orders, but this was one project. And the market overall, if I take Mexico including, we see a lot of modernization business which is coming up, not extremely, not many, if at all, greenfield, but a lot of brownfield business, as you call it. And also when we include Brazil in Americas, we see here a lot of investments coming in Brazil, which we prepared by expanding our facility and our people in Sao Paulo last year to be ready for this business to come this year, next year.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Now the next question comes from Ralf Marinoni of Close Brothers Seidler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. You expect sales in the range of 2.4 to 2.6 billion in the current business year. What are your basic assumptions for the higher or the lower end of the range? Maybe it reflects the situation in Europe. And second question is about your dividend payout ratio for the midterm. Maybe it's again in the range of 30 to 40% like in the current business year. Thank you.
Yeah. So Marinoni, thank you for the question. I think our dividend policy will be unchanged and will also not change for the years to come from today's perspective. The spread of the outlook for sales, I think for us in February to talk about the sales for the end of the year with a range of 200 million, which is 10%, I think for us that's more accurate. We don't want and we can't forecast. Yeah, this you can ask again in the third quarter call, and then we know better. But that's how we see the range. But it has nothing to do with Europe because, as I said, also in Europe, even there are not many greenfields, but there are also brownfield discussions, and it's difficult to forecast today how it develops.
I mean, the main point is the speed of execution, which can sometimes be customer-induced, whether more revenue per time is being generated or less. I think that's the main driver here.
Okay, thank you. Then I ask again after the second quarter. Thank you.
Third quarter.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. If you find that your question already has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Our next question comes from Richard Schramm of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. One question concerning the structure of business, referring to one of my colleagues before. Can you split up a bit your new equipment business in this brownfield and greenfield? Can you also give us an indication what makes brownfield business attractive for the longer term for you? Thank you.
Okay. It's not so easy to, and we don't intend to report now on greenfield and brownfield business, but that you get a rough idea, you can say one third is brownfield and two third is greenfield, and this maybe will change a little bit towards the brownfield. The brownfield business is from the, it's let's say more demanding because you have an installed factory where you have to, if most of the time, replace equipment and put it in again, and also some time constraints. In general, that's a little bit, let's say, more demanding, but it offers also, generally speaking, a little bit better margins most of the time. What we see is that the trend in Europe and also in America is that existing plants are going to be modernized to be more productive, less consuming of energy and less production of emissions, and to basically to match the standards we are installing today in China. So here we see a trend that the OEMs are really pushing those investments for the next years. Okay.
Okay, thank you. And maybe one follow-up on the discussion of some overcapacity, especially in the European market. Is there a kind of market for used equipment also in your business, or would that be scrapped? What is idled here in terms of production capacity? Thank you.
Okay, I think when we talk about the machinery business or our balancing machines, there is a market for refurbishment. So they, but if you look at the paint shop, and we had this example in the U.S. when there were a lot of plants closed down, they are used as spare parts, and the rest is scrapped off most of the time. Very rarely, we had some projects where we tried to reuse equipment, but it was not so cost effective as the customer was expecting in the first place.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Peter Roteneicher of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Another question regarding this brownfield project. You have provided us with a very interesting chart regarding 250 paint shops older than 20 years worldwide. Can you give us an indication what is the size in terms of sales for such a modernization project? And how this compares, I think, with greenfield project volume of 50, 60, 70, 80 million euros. And second question regarding your service business. The growth rate of 14% was lower than in previous year, also lower than in the first half of 2012. What is the reason for this, and what are your expectations going forward?
Okay, to explain the brownfields, the size of business, this, if you look at these factories which are older, they are, it's a very big span width of what can happen. So some in some cases we are just modifying or replacing some parts of the equipment, so we talk about orders of 1 to 5 million, and sometimes it's 10 million, and then you have orders where the customer replaces the total equipment, like we have a case we had in the U.S. And then you talk about 50, 60 million, sometimes even more, like a new paint shop, because you just put a new paint shop in an existing building, which is also brownfield at the end, yeah? So the bandwidth is quite, is varying very much, yeah. Service business, I mean, we grew, basically the growth in service is a question how fast you can get people on board to support it as well. And as you can see, we hired people which we had to train, and that gives you a capacity, and I think we have now, last year, jumped over the 500 million business bar, and but we expect it to grow, but we don't have a target now per quarter how much it should grow, yeah. But the installed base we have every day sold is feeding this, yeah.
So can we expect double-digit growth also going forward for the next years? Because I think also the spare parts business will increase considerably, thinking about the paint robots and the installed base.
When we agree double-digit is about 10%, then we can agree on that, yes.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Harald Remet of LBBW. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Maybe just a follow-up regarding the service business. You mentioned more modernization in Europe and the United States. Is this also an effect which should increase the growth rate of the service business, so it's possible that we see an acceleration of the growth rate seen in 2012? maybe what is the, how do you separate the business between a brownfield order with 2 million and the service business? Is there a special line where it's set, which is below, then it's service, and it's above a special level, it's part of the new machine business? And finally, the question regarding the tax rate, what should we expect for the two following years, 2013 and 14? We'll back at the normal level of 30, or we are more on the level of the last 2 years, 25?
Mr. Remert, first, the service question is a very good one, because you're totally right. The smaller modifications projects, and we have internally the classification up to 5, so basically from 0 to 5 to 7 million, is handled by a special service organization we have in place for that. And, they're also managing the summer shutdown and Christmas shutdown vacation modifications. If they are larger, like I said, 20, 30, 40 million, we treat it as a new as a new greenfield order from terms of the organization of which is handling it. So you're totally right. So we differentiate here. So a larger brownfield order would not be measured here or counted as a service order. We would just call it new business. That's why we have problems with importing numbers on that, which we would, even if we would have them, we would not do it.
On the tax rate, we are forecasting for this current year to be in a similar range, 25-26%, given the amount of tax loss carry forwards and the, should I call it, more conservative accounting in creating assets out of them. But next year, 2014, it should move then towards 30%. But please keep in mind that our cash tax rate will continue to be lower in both years.
Okay. Just one follow-up regarding the growth rate. The kind of discussions you have with your customers, is it? Do you think it's more the more larger modernizations with larger volumes, or are there given a high capacity utilization in some countries, there is no room left for these large modernizations, so there is only some service while summer shutdown or Christmas. So in view of the growth rate for whether it can be larger than in 2012?
Difficult to answer, but I try. What are the reasons for those modifications? There are some simple reasons, that old equipment doesn't work anymore, or it's faulty, so we replace it. But most of the cases, it's also that customers want to introduce, for example, our tri-scrubber technology, so they replace the old paint booth. In that case, they also maybe have application equipment which they want to modernize, newer robots and new application systems. And then we talk about an order which is easily 30, 40 million. Yeah? But the reason for a customer to invest in the modernization is mainly either to improve quality and productivity. And those ones which are smaller ones are more to replace equipment which is not doing the job anymore.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
Okay.
The next question comes from Stefan Augustin of Kepler Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Just one question. In the last conference call, you outlined that on a sequential basis, you would see Q1 on the same level or above than Q4. Now, we had a very good Q4. Would you repeat at the current point of time this message from the last call?
Also, we are not here today to give a forecast for first quarter, yeah, because we are mid of February. But in general, it doesn't look bad.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. If there are no further questions in the queue, I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Dieter for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Bianca. I think all questions have been raised. And I would like to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, for those questions. And we, as always, enjoyed the discussion with you. And for today, we say goodbye. Keep in mind, our annual report comes out on the 13th of March, is online. And for the rest of the day, we wish you a pleasant afternoon. Thanks for joining us today. Bye-bye.
We'll conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.